Psalm 67. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among the nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you today asking exactly what this psalm asks. We ask that you would be gracious to us. We ask that you would bless us. And we ask that you would cause your face to shine upon us. Lord, we know that every good thing we have comes from your hand. Your salvation, church, your word, the fellowship we enjoy, and the hope that we have in Christ is all of your grace to us. But Father, we ask that your blessings would not stop with us. Just as your word says in this psalm, we ask that your way would be known on the earth and that your saving power would be known among the nations. Lord, cause the people to praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Rise up worshipers from every tribe, language, people, and nation. We pray that through the gospel of Jesus Christ, many who do not yet know you would come to see your glory and trust in your Son. And as we open your word now, we ask that you would teach us, give us hearts that are aligned with your purposes, and help us to see that the blessings you give us are meant to make your name known in the world. Use your word today to stir our hearts for your glory among the nations. We ask this in the name of our Savior and King, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. From the beginning of Scripture in Genesis, and God never planned to limit his salvation to one nation. When God called Abraham, he promised in Genesis 12:3, "In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." That promise was never just about Abraham and his descendants living in one place. It was about God bringing salvation to the earth, to the entire world. Throughout the Old Testament, we see glimpses of that plan. God chose Israel, but he chose them for a purpose, that nations would come to know him. One of the clearest expressions of that purpose is found right here in Psalm 67. The psalm is a prayer for God's blessing. But it's not the kind of prayer we hear often today. The psalmist is not asking God to bless his people simply so that they can live comfortable lives. He asks God to bless his people so that all the nations will know him. This psalm shows us a simple but powerful truth. God blesses his people so that his name will be known among the nations. From the beginning to the end, the message in Scripture is consistent. In Isaiah 49:6, God says, "I will make you a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach the end of the earth." In Ezekiel 36, he says that we just read, "It's not for your sake," he told the house of Israel, "but for the sake of my holy name, and the nations will know that I'm the Lord." Matthew 5:16, he says, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Abraham to Revelation, patterns the same all throughout Scripture. God blesses his people, not for that blessing to stop with them, but for that blessing to flow through them so that the nations will know him and worship him. And that's exactly what we see here in Psalm 67. As we walk through this psalm, I want to point out three truths. God blesses His people with a purpose. God's salvation is for all peoples. And God's blessing leads to global worship. The first part we find in verses 1 and 2. God blesses His people with a purpose. And it begins with a familiar blessing. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face shine upon us. This is the priestly blessings that we find in Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. This is a prayer for God's favor. The psalmist is asking God to show grace, protection, and kindness to His people. But then we see something in verse 2. It takes a little turn. It says, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. And that little word, that, changes everything. It's literary structure. Some of you homeschool guys in here, we'll have a little segue into some English. You guys might not be able to tell it by my accent, but I used to teach 7th grade English. So that it's literary structure. This is called a purpose clause. It tells why the psalmist prayed this prayer. The psalmist prayed for grace and blessings and God's shining face in verse 1. God blesses His people so that His name becomes known among all the peoples. The psalmist is not asking for a blessing in of itself. He's asking for a blessing with purpose. God blesses His people so that His way will be known on earth. The word way refers to God's path, God's redemptive plan, God's revealed means of reconciliation. Throughout Scripture, God has only one way to salvation. The world often says there's many roads to God. But Jesus spoke with absolute clarity. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Notice Jesus didn't say, I will show you the way. He didn't say, I know the way. He said, I am the way. The psalmist prayed that God's way be known on earth. And we now know that the full expression of that prayer is found in Jesus Christ alone. The mission of the church is not simply to introduce people to Christianity or morality or religion. It's to make known the person and the work of Jesus Christ. God blesses His people so that His saving power will be made known among the nation. His way, His saving power. Your saving power among the nations. The idea here points to God's salvation, His deliverance, His rescuing work. The psalmist longs for every nation to see God's power to save. He is mighty to save. Hebrews 7:25 says, He is able to save to the uttermost. Paul's answer in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Notice Paul does not say the gospel contains power. He says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The saving power of God is not found in methods, personalities, strategies, building plans, or programs. It doesn't even come from having a really good accent. You know, the power is in the message. That's what Paul is saying in Romans. God is holy. He's the creator of all things. And we must worship him as creator. Man has sinned and failed to meet that standard. He's fallen short. God has ordained that the proclamation of Christ, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, would be the means by which sinners would be saved. And this is why missions matters. People cannot believe in a Savior they've never heard of. The nations must hear that your way be made known on earth, your saving power among all the nations. This was a remarkable prayer for Old Testament believers. The psalmist is already looking beyond Israel. He's already looking toward the ends of the earth. This is the heartbeat of God throughout the scriptures. God told Abraham, "In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And Jesus commanded, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations." And John saw in Revelation that we just read a great multitude that no one could number from every tribe, people, language, and nation. The mission has always been global. God's desire is not to merely have a few individuals know his salvation, but his saving power be proclaimed through the nations, every people group in earth. In other words, the blessing of God was never meant to stop with his people. It was meant to flow through them to the world. This is not an isolated idea. It's consistent pattern of Scripture. God's blessing always has a direction. And it's never meant to just settle on one people. It's meant to spread. Israel was supposed to be a light to the nations, the same way that we're to let our light shine before men. When God showed mercy to them, we read in Ezekiel 36, that the nations were supposed to see that mercy and be drawn to God. And the same is true for us today. God doesn't pour his blessing out merely so that we can enjoy them, but so that his character may be displayed through us. When the world sees God's grace and patience and mercy among his people, they're meant to be drawn to him. Paul reminds us in Romans 2, verse 4, God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. God's kindness has always had a purpose. He was kind to Israel so that the nations would know him. And he's kind to us so that others might see his goodness and turn to Christ. Every answered prayer, every provision, every act of undeserved mercy is an opportunity for us to point people beyond ourselves to the God who saves. God's blessings are never intended to terminate on us. They're intended to testify through us. We're a conduit. God blesses his people in many, many ways. He gives us salvation. He gives us his word. He gives us fellowship in his church. He provides for our needs. He has a cattle on 1,000 hills, and that's a metaphor. It doesn't go 999, 1,000. These aren't his. You know, all of them belong to him. Everything belongs to him. And those blessings are not meant to end with us. They're meant to lead to proclamation. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The greatest blessing that God has ever given is the gift of Jesus Christ. through Christ we receive forgiveness of our sins. Through Christ we're reconciled to God. Through Christ we receive eternal life. John 3:17 states that God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved. Then 18 goes on to say that whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in Him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. The word condemned means to be judged guilty and liable for the punishment of God. It's a legal term. The picture is not merely somebody that feels guilty, but there's a verdict that has been rendered. And in Romans 5, it says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread into all men, because all have sinned. And in 5:16, he says, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. We're going to come back to this in a minute. The message for Christ was meant to go to every nation. And God blesses His people so that we will declare His message. The Bible shows us that God's people were never meant to exist only for themselves. They were meant to make God known in the world. One author writes, it's not so much the case that God has a mission for His church in the world, but that God has a church for His mission in the world. In other words, the mission didn't start with a church. The mission started with God. The church is what God uses to help fulfill that mission. God has always been working, bringing nations to Himself. And He blesses His people so that they'll participate in that mission. Jesus picks up this exact same language in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 when He says, let your light shine before others. In other words, God shined His face on you, then your life is meant to shine before others. Blessings always lead to visibility, and visibility leads to proclamation, which brings us to our second point, verses 3 through 5. In verse 3, the psalmist takes a shift from a prayer to a vision of what the psalmist longs to see. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. And then we see another literary structure. That phrase repeats itself again in verse 5, and it sandwiches verse 4. That's what they call a chiatic verse, where it does like a chi in the Greek alphabet. And when you're from South Mississippi, somebody eventually comes up to you and says, Brother Joel, just call it a sandwich. And it's so much easier to understand. It sandwiches verse 3 and verse 5. Just look at it in your Bible. It's all throughout Scripture. It's a literary structure that's used by Hebrew to point to something. When it sandwiches like that, sometimes entire books sandwich to the center. The meat of the sandwich is verse 4. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. It helps us as readers to understand what the central theme of the whole idea is. And the central theme of the whole idea of Psalm 67 is, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. In biblical terms, with equity refers to the principles of fairness, justice, and partiality. The ultimate goal is never travel, humanitarian work, or cultural exchange. The goal is that the people who do not worship God will begin to praise Him. And the psalmist declares that God is not only the God of Israel, He is the ruler of nations. And nations all over the world long for justice. They long for righteousness. And they long for peace. But they do not know what that's really like. Those own things are only found under the rule of God. And if they do not believe on Christ, that judgment is condemnation. And that's where we go back to Romans chapter 5. Those who believe in Christ are not condemned. They are justified. Justification. The clearest verse is in Romans 5:16. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. We read part of it a moment ago. But the rest says, the free gift following many trespasses brought justifications. And again in Romans 5:18, therefore as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness led to the justification and life for all men. When we put our faith in Christ, He imputes His righteousness to us. Sometimes we use these big words like imputes and hard to understand. And I'll break it down for you in good old boy English. Everybody knows what an amputee is. When you've had something cut off, you've had an amputation. You know, you don't have a leg. Imputes is the opposite of that. Having something put on you that does not belong to you. And when in this case, the biblical term, we're talking about Christ's righteousness that is put on you. So that when God looks at us, He no longer sees our sinful lives. He sees Christ and His blood. It's an amazing term, imputation. I know me. I know how I've lived. I know the things I've done. I know the lives I've told. One day, I'm going to stand in front of God, and He is going to see me as pure. He's going to see me as holy. That's terrifying. But it's so marvelous to think about how I, as a sinner as I am, God is going to look upon me and call me pure, call me holy. He's not doing that because of anything that I've done, anything that I've said, any merit that I've ever earned or anything. He's doing that because of the work of Christ and Christ alone. Christ came and lived a holy life on earth. He fulfilled the law. And then He died as a spotless lamb, as a sacrifice. And He puts His righteousness on me. He imputes it. And then I'm legal term called just. I'm just, as if I've never done anything wrong. Not guilty. Incredible. He ascended to the throne, sat down on the right hand of the Father, and in Matthew 28:18, He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Christ is the rightful king of every nation. And in the next verse, Jesus commanded what we all know as the Great Commission. Because I am the King, because all power belongs to me in heaven and on earth, because of that, go ye therefore into all the world, making disciples. The church's mission is to proclaim that the saving reign of Christ, so people everywhere will worship Him. The gospel must go to every tribe, every language, every people, and every nation. But we don't go as a people with the hope that maybe someone will believe. We go with confidence because God has already purposed to save people from every nation. Before the foundation of the world, God chose a people for Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. And Christ didn't merely make salvation possible. He purchased them with His blood. We see in Revelation 5:9, "You were slain, and by your blood you have ransomed the people for God from every tribe, every language, every people and nation." That means when we take the gospel to the nations, we're not trying to accomplish something uncertain. We're participating in the unfolding plan of God to gather His elect from the ends of the earth. And God has people in every nation. They simply haven't heard the voice of the shepherd yet. And when the gospel is proclaimed, the sheep of Christ will hear His voice and come to Him. And that's why we go. We delight in Him, and He gives us the desires of His heart. We hear that in Psalm 37:4. Delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean that every desire that you have, God is going to grant to you. What it means is God is going to give you desires. People don't just wake up in the morning and say they want to go to Nicaragua or any of these other places. People don't wake up in the morning and say, "Hey, you know what? I think I'll go to the Congo." It's a desire that God puts in you to do that. And that's how we have the confidence that we know that everything's going to work out. It's because God has given us this desire. What's a really neat thing about it is, just like God gives us the desire, He puts the desire in people's heart to help. That's who wakes up in the morning and says, "Hey, I think I'll work an extra shift this week so that I can support missions." You know, that's not a normal thought. That's stuff that God does. He causes people to desire that. And because through the preaching of the gospel, Christ is calling His people home, that's why the church exists. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him. We're not just chosen just to belong. We're chosen to proclaim. God saves us out of darkness so that we will speak of His marvelous light. The third part in verses 6 and 7, God's blessing leads to global worship. The psalm concludes with the confidence in God's continued blessing. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. 2 Corinthians 9:11 says, "You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God." God enriches His people, not so they can accumulate more, but so they can distribute more. Blessing is not a reservoir, it's a pipeline. The harvest reminds Israel that every gift comes from the Lord. The psalm ends with this global vision. God shall bless us. Let the ends of the earth fear him. The psalmist looks forward to a day when the knowledge of God spreads to the end of the earth. This points forward to the great scene in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. A great multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne and worshiping the Lamb. History is moving toward that moment. And the way God accomplishes it is through the mission of his people. The problem is not asking for blessing. The problem is asking for blessing that stops with us. The right prayer is not, God, give me more so that I can have more. But God, give me more so your name will be known through me. This reshapes how we live. 1 Corinthians 10:24, let no one seek his own good but that good of his neighbor. Philippians 2:3, do nothing from selfish ambition but looking to the interest of others. Romans 15, let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. And the example of Christ himself, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. Christian life is not about maximizing our advantage. It's about leveraging our lives for the salvation and good of others. History gives us a powerful example of that. In 1792, William Carey became convinced that the gospel must go out to all the nations, and his friend Andrew Fuller stood beside him. Carey famously said, I will go down into the pit if you will hold the rope. And Carey went, and Fuller stayed behind, and he mobilized churches, and he said together they helped form the Baptist Missionary Society. And one went and one sent. Both were essential. God's blessing is never meant to terminate on us. God blesses some to go, and he blesses others to send. Some cross oceans and others hold the rope. But all are participating in the same mission. When God gives somebody the desire to go to the mission field, God gets the glory for that. When God gives somebody the desire to help somebody go to the mission field, he gets the same amount of glory for that. It's an amazing interchange. It really is. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. It's often a misunderstood verse. It's not a blank check promising whatever we want. As we delight in him, he changes what we want. You know, I want to get up at 6 a.m. and read my Bible. That's not a normal want or a normal desire. That's something that God does. He aligns our hearts with his heart. And the desire itself becomes one of his gifts. The same God who put the desire in one believer to go puts the desire in another believer to send. And he gets the glory for both. He stirs the heart of one who descends into the pit, and he stirs the heart of the one holding the rope. That's why we can trust him. We don't have to manufacture God's will or force God's plans. We simply walk in obedience to him. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 reminds us, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your straight path. If God desires His way to be made known on earth and His saving power among all the nations, then we can trust Him to guide those He calls to go and to provide through those He calls to send. The God who gives the mission is the God who directs the path and God who supplies what is needed for His glory among the nations. God has blessed us richly. He's given us the gospel. He's given us His word. He's given us the knowledge of Christ. Those blessings are not meant to stop with us. God blesses His people so that His way may be known on the earth and His saving power among all the nations. That the nations will know Him, that the people will praise Him, that all the ends of the earth will fear Him. God has blessed us in Christ. The good news of the gospel is God sent His own Son to save sinners. Jesus Christ lived the life that we couldn't live and died the death that we deserve to die. So I say to you today, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit and life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. The answer is not to try harder, do better, or clean yourself up. The answer is Christ. Christ alone. Turn from your sin and put your faith in Him. Trust in His finished work on the cross. That's how you find mercy and grace. And for those who are in Christ, the verdict is no longer condemnation, it's justification. No longer guilty, but forgiven, and no longer under wrath, but adopted as sons and daughters. I'm praying for you today. Jesus told us to pray for workers because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. May the Lord strengthen you and use you and give you opportunities to share His love and truth with others this week as you come in contact with them. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word and for the truth that we've seen in this psalm today. You've been gracious to us. You've blessed us in countless ways. But most of all, You've blessed us through the salvation we have in Christ. Lord, help us to remember that Your blessings were never meant to stop with us. You bless Your people so that Your way may be known on the earth and Your saving power among the nations. We pray that the people would praise You. We pray that the nations would be glad and sing for joy. Rise up worshipers from every tribe, language, people, and nation. Stir our hearts as Your people. Show each of us how we can participate in the mission of making Your name known. Give some the courage to go, and give others the faithfulness to hold the rope through prayer, encouragement, and support. We ask that one day soon we would see the fulfillment of this psalm, when the ends of the earth fear You and the nations rejoice in Your salvation. We ask this in the name of our King and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.